Today on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, a lesson on finding strength.
You're going to need a lot of grace to be strong in grace so that you risk loving people knowing that certain people will hurt you and disappoint you. You're going to need a lot of grace. So be strong in grace.
And welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and the senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Well, in our busy and chaotic world, do you ever feel a little overwhelmed, maybe on the verge of losing control? Mark, you're going to show us how grace plays a big part in that solution.
Wayne, so many people have been hurt, discouraged, gone through trauma, disappointment, upheaval, especially in the last 2 years.
Yes.
And so I think this word is very, very relevant. Someone needs to hear this. Be strong in grace. It's the unmerited, undeserved favor of God that we receive and give to other people.
You gave this message to the students at Moody Bible Institute in a chapel service, so we all are going to benefit from that message now. Let's go ahead and get started. It's titled Finding Strength. Here's Bold Steps with Mark Jobe.
You know, have you ever lost something that you know was there, but it's just hard to find? I don't know, my wife and I joke with each other about this because we're constantly in this thing of running out of the house and like, hey, did you see my phone, my glasses? And I don't know what's happening, but I'll say, hey, did you see my phone? It'll be right in my hand. Did you see my phone? But the other day, just a few days ago, we were leaving the house, and my wife said, hey, did you see my phone? And I said, no. How many of you do this? Can you ring it for me? So, all right. But, you know, so I ring it up for her, and I hear this slight ringing. And so then the search begins. Like, I hear the ringing. I run upstairs. I hear it ringing. No, it's not upstairs. I run in the basement. No, it's not there. I know it's somewhere around. She's digging through her purse. We're looking in the couch. Do you hear the ringing? I walk into the kitchen. I'm just saying, I hear it ring. I dial it again. I hear it ringing. And then I open up the refrigerator and voila, there it is. And then she said, oh, yeah, I went to get something, put it down. I forgot in the refrigerator. I know a lot of you can relate to that, kind of lost your phone somewhere. But we know it was there. It's just hard to find. And how do you find what you need when you've lost what you've had? I think during this season, this intense last year, year and a half, some people have lost things during this intense season and have had a hard time finding it again, recovering it again. And I believe that some people have lost friendships because of tension and because of cultural issues and because of infighting. Some people have lost joy. People have hurt you, or you just feel like you don't have that joy again. Some people have lost peace or drive, and you had it at one time. You know it's there. It's just hard to find. And I believe that 2 Timothy, end of chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is talking to young Timothy, who is in a very chaotic, disruptive season of life. Secularism, anti-Christian behavior is zooming in. There's a persecution happening. The Apostle Paul is in prison. Timothy's afraid. People are abandoning the faith. Some people are turning to heresy. Other people are turning against him. Timothy's a young leader trying to establish himself, a little bit sickly, a little bit fearful, comes from a half-Christian home. His grandmother and mother were believers. His father was not. And so he's facing a very turbulent world, and there's a sense in his life where he needs strength. And That's what I want to talk to you as I jump into 2 Timothy chapter 1. And if you're taking notes today, I just want you to write this down. Strong grace helps us through personal hurt and disappointment. I'm going to read the last verses of chapter 1, but let me start with chapter 2, verse 1. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy, his young protege, the person that he's mentoring, "You then, my son," here it goes. Ready? "Be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus." There it is. "You then, Timothy, my son, be strong, find courage, be empowered." Where? Where is it? I know strength is there somewhere. I know that energy, that power to overcome these things are somewhere. Where is it? Open the refrigerator and find it. It's there. It's in grace. This is a powerful lesson that the seasoned Paul is trying to tell Timothy, but you don't really understand the context of it unless you back up a few verses, and then you'll understand really what Paul is getting at here. He says, you know, in verse 15, that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. Everyone has deserted me. In other words, I've had relational turmoil. People that I counted on, people that I walked with, people that I thought were always going to be there, hey, they've walked away. There's some pain there. He said, including Phrygilus and Hermogenes. By the way, if you don't know how to pronounce the word, just say it fast with confidence. Everybody else thinks you know how to pronounce it. They teach you that in Greek class. "May the Lord show mercy to the household." By the way, how would you like for your name to be included in the Bible as a deserter? We don't know much about these two men, but Paul felt compelled enough to mention their names as these were people that walked alongside of me. These were people that I counted on. These were people that embraced the faith, people that I poured into, people that I taught, people that I mentored. It appears like they were people that he allowed into his inner circle, people that he counted on to be there with them. And with disappointment and grief, he mentions their names in the Bible as people that, well, they were part of those that deserted him, that turned their back on him. And then he contrasts that with another guy that he mentions here, Onesiphorus. Go ahead, try it. Onesiphorus. He mentions Onesiphorus because he often refreshed me, was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when I was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well how many ways he helped me. You then, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want you to catch this. Why is he telling Timothy to be strong in grace? He's telling Timothy, you then, because you will be hurt, because there are people that will disappoint you, because you will walk along some people and you will experience abandonment, hurt, disappointment, relational tension, people that you thought were going to be there that won't be there. Because ministry is messy, because it's difficult, because personal hurt is what is involved in loving people and ministering to people, you then, Timothy, be strong in grace. How do I know that he's talking about that? Because then he goes on and he says, and pour into others the way that I poured into you. In other words, the context of him telling them to be strong in grace is that there are people that abandoned me, hurt me, disappointed me. I've experienced the pain, the hurt. And you're going to need a lot of grace, Timothy, not to get cynical about it. You're going to need a lot of grace to be strong in grace so that you risk loving people knowing that certain people will hurt you and disappoint you. You're going to need a lot of grace. So be strong in grace. It was John Calvin that wrote it this way. He said, he names two deserters, probably the best known, in order to put a stop to these slanderous attacks, for it usually happens that deserters from the Christian warfare seek to excuse their own disgraceful conduct by inventing whatever accusations they can against faithful and upright ministers of the gospel. You see, what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell young Timothy is, Timothy, if you're going to engage in ministry, if you're going to love people, if you're going to pursue the call of God upon your life, you need to anticipate and need to expect that you will be hurt relationally. And therefore, in order not to give up, you need to be strong in grace. What is grace? It's the unmerited, undeserved favor of God. You need to be saturated in grace, first of all, for you. And by the way, this where it says be strong in grace means be vested with power. In other words, what gives you the power to overcome, what gives you the strength to be able to endure, what gives you the ability not to grow cynical and keep loving people is that you've experienced grace, you're filled with grace, and you give grace. Paul is at the end of his life. He's poured into people. He's in prison. People were backing away from Paul because there was a cultural pressure that if you associate with Paul, he was viewed by the Romans as a traitor because Christians were viewed sort of as a traitor to the empire. So it was not popular to hang out with someone that was culturally ostracized. As a follower of Jesus who had poured in, raised churches, planted churches, he was at a point in his life that because of his Christianity, people were backing away from him, because his stance were unpopular, because his convictions were not shared by the majority culture, because he was viewed a bit as a traitor because of the convictions that he had, some people were backing away and saying, no, Paul, I don't associate with Paul. And I just want you to know, I want it to be clearly embedded in your mind and soul and heart that whether you go into quote-unquote vocational ministry, whether you just live on mission in a secular world, you will experience hurt. If you're involved in a church, you will experience hurt. If you're involved with your roommate, you will experience hurt. If you're involved in a community at Moody, someone is going to disappoint you. You're going to get hurt, period. To love is to be hurt. If you get married, you will experience hurt. It's just part of life. And the more you love, the more you invest, the more you get hurt. And you have a decision. I can grow cynical. I can back off. I can grow hard. I can back away from my mission. Or I can be strong in grace. Because God has poured out his grace in my life, and I can experience that grace. And that's exactly what Paul is telling Timothy in the context of hurt relationships, in the context of saying, Timothy, this is going to happen to you. So invest in other people, even though you may get hurt.
You're listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe and the beginning of a new message titled Finding Strength. Now, Mark, just before we continue this lesson today, I want to chat for a moment about the Bold Stepper Weekly. For those who haven't read it yet or have not received the Bold Stepper Weekly, let's give a little hint of what was released today.
Yeah, well, in the Bold Stepper Weekly, I like to just highlight different devotional thoughts, little peeks into my family. And so this Bold Stepper Weekly, I highlight Grant Jobe, who's my youngest son. He's 23. loving the Lord, following Jesus, graduating from UI Champaign, but also going into the Army feels a real call. He's very patriotic, very called to serve his country. So you'll get a little glimpse into that.
All right. Well, in advance of his induction, thank him for his service to our country. All right. That's in the Bold Stepper Weekly today. Just an example of what you might be missing if you're not receiving this. You can easily get it by signing up at our website, boldstepsradio.org. Look for the Bold Stepper Weekly. All right, let's get back into the message now about finding strength.
My son, my oldest son, he got married in September, about a little over a year ago. Not this September, the other September. When he was dating his current wife, started dating about 3 months into his dating relationships, he said, "Dad, if I know, why do I have to wait?" I said, "Hold on, how long have you been dating?" 3 months. "He's not going to change. I'm convinced she's the one." I said, "Okay, well, it's been 3 months. So you don't know. Some people, like, they're real nice during the summer, and when winter hits, they turn into a bear. You haven't even lived through winter with her, you know, so you don't really know." No, Dad, we connect. We know each other." I told him, "Son, every couple I talk to gives me the same story. Oh, we've had this soul connection. We're like not like other couples. We know each other well." Like, "Yeah, I've heard that before." So he's saying, "Dad," I said, "Son, I really encourage you date a year before you propose and get married." "Ah, Dad, if I know, I know. It's 3 months. Why do I have to wait?" I said, "Have you even had a good fight yet?" He said, "No, we don't fight." I said, "Okay." I said, "Go have a good fight and then come back to me, okay? Go have a good fight." Well, the next day, he didn't pick it, but the next day they had a good fight. A very good fight. And then I talked to him after, and he said, "You know, Dad, I've decided I could be single the rest of my life." See, what I wanted my son to know, what I wanted him to understand is hurt is part of life. Conflict is part of life. People will hurt you. You will experience hurt in marriage, in friendship, in ministry, in churches. Whatever you do, you will experience hurt. And the only way to prevent becoming cynical, jaded, hard, calloused, the only way to prevent that is if you determine in your mind, in your heart, "I will be strong in grace." What does it mean to be strong in grace? Well, a lot of people don't understand grace. They confuse mercy and grace. But there's a difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is not getting the punishment of the consequences that you actually deserve. When you deserve punishment, a negative consequence, you get mercy when you don't get what you deserve in a negative way. That's mercy. Grace is a little bit the opposite. Grace is getting what you don't deserve or merit in spite of who you are, because it's embedded in the character of God. Grace is God's favor pouring out on us in spite of us. Because we have not earned it, we haven't deserved it, we haven't merited it. It has nothing to do with us, it has to do with the character and person of God. That's grace. And so to be strong in grace means, God has given me what I don't deserve. I'm going to give other people what they don't deserve either. God has been gracious to me and giving me merit and favor in spite of how I've acted, in spite of how I've lived. For by grace are you what? Through faith? Saved. It's not a merited, deserved, earning. This is grace-based. The Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, and by the way, if you haven't grasped the grace of God, I know some of you come from backgrounds that maybe you heard very little about grace and you were raised maybe more with a works-based mentality or a I have to earn it mentality or a legalistic mentality that says you have to earn and deserve the favor of God. I talked to so many people that were raised in that kind of background, sometimes by very well-meaning people, sometimes by churches or church traditions that are very works-based oriented, wanting to drive people to holiness, but their way of driving people to holiness is through rules. Let me tell you, rules never make anybody holy. The law proved that. It's grace that drives us to holiness. It's the grace of God that pushes us to want to live radically different lives in holiness to God. Why? Well, look what it tells us in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation, we need to remember that it's grace that brings salvation, not works that bring salvation. I speak this all the time, by the way, as I preach here in the city of Chicago. That's a very, it's a very Catholic city. And a lot of the people that I minister to were raised in Catholicism, and oftentimes the message that they've got, whether it's unintentionally or intentional, was that it's your works that's going to sort of lead you in this way. And so they need to understand grace, salvation, not by works, but through grace. And so I say this all the time when I'm calling people to salvation. Hey, you come just the way you are. You don't clean up your life and present it to God and say, now, God, am I ready for you? No, you come exactly the way you are. It's God that cleans you up. It's He that forgives you. It's He that washes you. You're not meriting salvation. You are experiencing salvation as you surrender to God. For the grace of God that brings salvation, so it brings salvation to our souls, it has appeared to all men, yes. And what does it do? Listen, what teaches us to say no to ungodliness? What gives us the power to live holy lives? What is it that gives us the strength to be able to resist worldliness in our lives? It's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. For grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age. It's the grace that teaches you to do that. Why? Because God has loved me in such a lavish, powerful way. When I didn't deserve it, He forgave me, loved me, watched me, put His Holy Spirit inside of me, forgives me, walks along beside of me, and this incredible favor that I don't deserve has been lavished on me. So now I'm serving God, not because I'm trying to merit it or earn it or deserve it, but I'm serving God because of His incredible gracious love towards me. So my thanksgiving, gratitude, desire for holiness is not out of the fear of judgment, but it's out of this incredible love for Him who has loved me first. That's grace.
Yes, the life-changing power of God's grace. That's Mark Jobe in the first half of a message titled Finding Strength here on Bold Steps. Now, earlier we mentioned a few of the faith-building resources we've made available to our listeners, including our latest Bold Steps gift. And to tell us more about this month's special selection, here again is Mark.
We all want to see change in this world, to see younger generations rise up to their kingdom calling, and to step into their God-given roles for the gospel. But these younger generations need wisdom and encouragement from those who have already begun the work. And so, as a special resource for Christian women who wish to pour into the next generation of wives, mothers, and singles, I'd like to send you a book called Adorned, Living Out the Beauty of the Gospel Together. There's something truly special about godly women who offer their time and transparency to mentor other women, speaking truth, love, and understanding to those in need. And in this unique Bold Steps gift, Nancy walks you through the Titus II model of women's fellowship, revealing how each woman has a vital part to play in adorning the gospel together. Again, the book is called Adorned, and it's yours when you give a gift of any amount today to support the ministry of Bold Steps.
To give that gift online and request your copy of Adorned, just go to boldstepsradio.org. or call in your gift at 844-615-7363. That's 844-615-7363. And if you'd rather send your donation and request for the book in the mail, let me give you the address. That's Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. And before we close out our program today, let me remind you that if you ever miss one of these programs on the radio, or you simply want to revisit one of Mark's messages, you'll find each of these Bold Steps programs on our podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast platform, search for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe, and tap the subscribe button. Or listen to the program through the Moody Radio app on your smartphone or Alexa-enabled device. Download the app and search for Bold Steps Radio to access all of Mark's sermons. Well, that brings us to the end of our program now. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and tomorrow, Mark continues our lesson on finding strength, revealing more about how God's grace enables us to stay focused in our faith. It's a relevant lesson for every season of life, and it's coming up Tuesday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.